Hello, and welcome to our Secular Sponsor Speaker Series. Each week, we hear from an Overeaters Anonymous member who has attained and maintained abstinence without God and has served as a sponsor to other members. The series also provides opportunities for secular OA members who don't have a sponsor or are interested in exposure to a variety of points of view to learn from the experience of others. We encourage everyone to sponsor others up to the level of their own recovery and to use these tools with each other as peers. If you are willing to sponsor or to work as a peer, please post a message at secular.overeaters.community@gmail.com. Again, the email address is secular.overeaters.community@gmail.com. For additional information about abstinence without God, go to secularovereaters.org. And now, let's hear from this week's Secular OA sponsor.
My name is Michelle, and I am a compulsive overeater, and today we'll be talking about the concept of accountability buddies, and we'll have a chance to practice with each other. We'll also give you a link to a handout when we're finished with this, but first we want to just give you a little bit of a background. As many of you experienced, there are not many available secular sponsors in Overeaters Anonymous, and when we met at the second Secular Overeaters Community Gathering in March, we formed a committee to address this issue. One of our first steps was to conduct a survey of our members that we hoped would guide us. I want to introduce you to our committee members, and they're going to wave to the rest of the group. They are Jenny, Kay, Susan, and Carolina. So here's our agenda today. Carolina will tell us about the sponsorship survey results. Kay will give us an introduction to the concept of accountability buddies. We'll have a short share from three different members who have accountability buddies and can tell you about their experience. And then Susan will help us pair off in breakout rooms to practice being an accountability buddy. After that short practice, we'll come back together for some sharing and some Q&A. For now, I'm going to turn it over to Carolina.
Hi, my name is Carolina, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I wanted to start out by sharing our findings from the survey. So Jenny, if you could please put the slides up. Excellent. Thank you. Don't worry, I won't bore you with a lot of data. So we wanted to get a general idea of where we stand in terms of how many sponsors there are, why people are not sponsoring, and what we can do to facilitate being a sponsor or feeling ready to be a sponsor. So we started out by asking about the length of abstinence, and the majority of the survey participants have less than 1 month of solid abstinence, and only about 20% have more than 1 year of abstinence. So that was our first clue about why people might not be feeling ready. Then we asked about having a sponsor, and more than half do not have a sponsor, and only about 35% have a regular sponsor. We then moved on to asking about being a sponsor, yes or no. And we saw that 80% of the survey participants do not sponsor anybody, and only about 20% are actually a sponsor. That's not a lot. So we thought, maybe the existing sponsors can take on more sponsees. And the answers were 14% felt they could take on another sponsee, and 46% said maybe. So that's a start. And then we come to the core of the survey, why people are not sponsoring. And the main reasons are that they're feeling too new with 55%. They're not currently abstinent with 51%, not having finished working the steps, 49%, and generally feeling unprepared. And some of these reasons you can't do much about. I mean, it's understandable that if somebody is new to the program, they won't immediately jump into sponsoring. So then we thought, okay, if sponsoring is maybe too soon for some people, are there maybe alternative ways people would be willing to help? And there are. People can see themselves being a temporary sponsor, a food sponsor, gratitude sponsor, newcomer buddy, etc. And being an accountability buddy seems to be the most popular role that people see themselves in. So we then decided it would be our first area of focus, and here we are. if you want to take your time looking at the key takeaways from the survey, Jenny will post the link in the chat.
Can I just add one thing? Is that the survey, we had 111 people respond, right? Just to give people context.
Yes.
That only 3 people said they'd be willing to take on new sponsees.
And now Kay will tell us some things about the concept of an accountability buddy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kay. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I want to present to you our committee's concept of what an accountability buddy is. Accountability buddies are 2 members who agree to be mutually accountable to each other. This relationship differs from sponsorship because buddies can be at the same level of recovery. In the committee's research, we couldn't determine where the phrase accountability buddy originated. I thought my OA friend and I made it up years ago, so I was really surprised when I arrived at Secular Overeaters and heard that phrase being used. Maybe when we get to the Q&A portion of our program, someone can give us the definitive answer on where it originated. Accountability buddies provide support and encouragement. We practice honesty and anonymity. We share what has worked for us. If trust develops over time and the buddies agree, we can also provide feedback to each other. Now, accountability buddies can be singularly focused. For instance, you could email your daily food plan, or you could do a simple check-in on how you are working your program. Here are 3 more examples of accountability buddy activities. A nightly text when dinner is done. Bookending a social event. And bookending is when you make contact before the social event and you make a commitment. You go to the social event, and then you make contact again with your buddy. And another example is you could read a recovery book together. Buddies can hold us over until we get a sponsor, or they can supplement our work with our sponsor. We can have as many buddies as we want or need. This is building a recovery team. To find an accountability buddy, there are 4 things you want to think about. What you need in your program, your preferred mode of communication, how much time you can set aside for this new commitment, what time of day and time zone will work for you. Once you have that information, start taking phone numbers or email addresses during a meeting and reach out to people afterward. Another option is to post exactly what you're searching for in the meeting chat. In our breakout sessions today, we'll provide examples of such posts. Another option for finding a buddy is if your recovery meeting is followed by fellowship. Stick around to put your request out there to the group. Your initial negotiation with a potential buddy is similar to starting up with a new sponsor. You talk about frequency, mode of communication, time limits, and expectations. With an accountability buddy, you will also want to discuss how to divide your time, whether you'll give feedback, who will contact who, what to do if you don't hear from your buddy, and to what extent to allow outside issues. Above all, agree to anonymity and confidentiality. Having a buddy or a sponsor includes practicing healthy boundaries. We don't know what's best for the other person. We are not their therapist. We are not their higher power, nor do we try to solve their problems. We are each responsible for our own recovery. We don't work our buddy's program stronger than they do. Practicing these healthy boundaries with an accountability buddy is a good prelude to becoming a sponsor, something we dearly need more of in secular OA.
Thank you, Kay. Now we're going to hear from the 3 of us as we share for about 3 minutes about our own experiences with accountability buddies. And I'll go first. I met my accountability buddy at the gathering in March. We were in one of the breakout rooms together and we immediately hit it off. We exchanged phone numbers and started chatting, I think, the next day. And pretty soon we had our first phone call and realized we couldn't stop talking. So then she asked me if we wanted to make this a regular thing and maybe work on things together, and hence our accountability relationship was born. We have about one phone call a week and text each other almost every day. During the phone calls, we usually catch up on what's been happening during the last week and how it has affected our abstinence and our work in the program. Now, I'd say our relationship is very flexible. So there can be times when we dial it down a bit and hit the pause button for a couple of weeks, drowning in work or being on vacation with little or no access to the internet are like good examples for deciding to take it more slowly for a while. The relationship should be helpful and not an additional stressor. So that's why we decided to keep it that way. That said, our main focus is definitely OA stuff, like sharing our gratitudes or how to handle triggers. But we also leave space for everyday small talk, like how are the kids? How are the pets? What trouble did they get into, the kids and the pets? So that's always fun. And we didn't establish any ground rules or boundaries or guidelines because we just sort of stumbled into this accountability relationship, and we never felt the need for any such boundaries. We just sort of naturally not overstep each other's boundaries. So it has worked well for us thus far. And that's it for my experience. And next we'll hear from Kay.
Hi, thanks, Carolina. So it's really cool to follow Carolina because their accountability buddy relationship is much different than the one I have with mine. And we actually call ourselves 10th step partners. Years ago at an OA meeting, a member said she'd like a phone call that evening. I called her at an agreed upon time, and after that, it just evolved into a nightly thing. During our calls, we share our program day went, how we use the tools, principles, and steps of OA. You might think of us as taking turns answering the following two questions. How did I treat myself today? How did I treat others? My 10th step partner and I have very little in common. I am introverted and she's a people person. I'm a precise speaker and she is poetic. She is content in life and I am not. I'm a non-believer and she uses the G-O-D word frequently. And finally, she is in love with the 12 steps and I just tolerate them. What we do have in common is a commitment to recovery. And as a result, we've been supporting each other's program for 8 years. Our call happens at 9:30 every night, a time when the urge to eat more is prevalent for both of us. It doesn't matter who makes the call. We know that we are equally responsible and trust that the call will happen. Calls last anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. If you're asking for advice, it might be a longer call. One of us shares completely and then turns the conversation over to the other person. The following is often covered in the course of our shares. How many program conversations we had that day? If we attended a 12-step meeting, whether we did service, whether we had urges to eat and how we dealt with them, if we ate compulsively, if strong feelings came out and how we handled them, and personal triumphs and disappointments. In the course of our 8 years, we've fallen into the following guidelines. Please note, they work for us. What works for you is very likely to be different. I suggest that you address these issues at the beginning of your relationship. I have three categories: outside issues, advice and feedback, and anonymity. With regard to outside issues, we do not allow politics or sound bites from the news. We do allow details of the day if they relate to our recovery. We allow non-OA recovery literature and practice, whatever works. Because I'm an introvert, we don't chit-chat. With regard to advice and feedback, we empathize with disappointments and we reflect back each other's triumphs. We often just listen and accept what the other person says, even if we disagree. If we feel compelled to respond to something the other has said, we'll ask if we can offer feedback. with regard to anonymity, we never use the names of other people. We might say another member or an OA friend. Occasionally, we might want to share about how working with the sponsee affects our own program. In this case, we number them like sponsee one or sponsee two, and we do not share details. For instance, she might say, I had a long session with sponsee one today. She is really getting it, and it is so exciting for me to be witnessing her growth. Or I might say, I called sponsee three today. I needed to make amends to her because yesterday I got into her business when she and I spoke on the phone. I feel better and know I will handle myself differently in the future. I'll wrap up now. I hope my example has shown you that you never know who's going to be a big part of your recovery.
Okay, then Amy's next.
Hi, Amy, binge eater and restrictor. And, the two people I talk to, or I mostly text with them today as accountability buddies, I'm not even sure they know that that's what I call them. I think I reached out to both of them over time. And they said, yeah, sure, let's text. And they were just people that I met, at meetings. And the way I kind of chose them was I felt a warm vibe. I also just felt comfortable with them, And, like someone else said, there really weren't any ground rules established. I think ground rules can be, I think some structure can be helpful. It's almost sometimes I just don't want to, make it this is a big deal and this is a big commitment. It will be as much of a commitment as the two people participating in it can handle at any given time. In terms of what gets shared, it's usually, probably sometimes it's a couple times a week, sometimes it's a couple times a day. Just, hey, what's going on? Are you, traveling, health problems, divergences from routine. Occasionally, I will reach out for direct accountability support. Like a couple weeks ago, I accepted an invitation to a big group meal that I knew was going to go on for hours. And that is like my kryptonite. In fact, I don't think I'm ever going to do them again. But I accepted. And I told one of my accountability buddies, yep, I'm going here tonight. And it was really cool was that I heard from her, spontaneously I heard from her as it was going on. She's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, it actually was going okay. I wasn't, hiding my discomfort in the food, thank goodness, because that's my usual MO with the big group meals. So that, that can be super helpful. Or, just sending texts like, wow, I really feel like eating right now, that can really throw the monkey wrench into the binge pattern, which for me has proven super helpful. A while ago, I had somebody that I was sending my food to. She and I are still I heard from her the other day. We're still in contact. Logging my food and sending it became really burdensome for me. I did not expect to hear from her every day on that. It was just the act of sending the log food onto a peer here that I found helpful. But eventually I was just at my damn phone all the time, logging food. I'm like, this is a pain in the you-know-what. So I left off. So today I'm chatting with two people, and we do via text. I'm a big texter. Occasionally phone calls are fun. And, if either of them ever wanted to talk by phone, I'd be up for that. So they're very loose relationships. I would underscore what other people have talked about in terms of the need for anonymity and confidentiality. And I think those particular boundaries, I think, should be established really clearly. Like, hey, I'm not going to tell anybody what you say to me, or even that you and I specifically are talking. And I would appreciate it if you could do the same. I think that can be important to say. So I would, if you don't care, that's fine. I mean, for me, I do care, and I care about my own confidentiality, and I also care, if I started blah, 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 about someone else, like I'd be horrified. I'd be, you know, so having that notion in my mind that, yep, this just doesn't get, you know, doesn't get discussed with anybody else. Not even not disclosing the name. I just don't get into it with other people. And that's, see, that's from years in AA. You know, that's where I learned that. And that got entrenched real good. So I think I'm probably coming up to the end of my time. So I'm such a seat of the pants person. That's how I went about it. But like I said, some things are pretty important and probably do need to be discussed explicitly at the outset of the relationship. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Now we're going to practice. And I see a lot of familiar faces, so I think everybody knows how this works. But Jenny's going to put us in random pairs in the breakout groups. And this is our chance to practice. And there's two things that you're going to talk about with your partner. You're going to spend about 3 minutes each doing a typical kind of check-in. How's your food? How's your mood? Right? And so if I were there, I might say, you know, my food was pretty good. I logged everything. I didn't do any recreational eating, but it was a stressful day and I'm feeling, you know, really tired, right? That might be an example of that. So you'll take turns doing that. And then for the remaining time, just think about what you want in accountability buddy. And by the way, Jenny has all these instructions in the chat so you can look back at it. But, you know, like how often do you want to meet? When? For how long? What kind of things do you want to check in with each other about?
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Michelle. Again, I am a compulsive overeater. We are going to take a few minutes now for discussion. So this is a chance to share your own experience with accountability buddies or let us know how that exercise went, or ask a question or make a comment, give us some feedback on our presentation. And we'll just ask that you keep your comments brief so that everyone has a chance to share. And it looks like Mary, you have your hand raised first.
Well, for me, I just had a very, very lovely experience in the breakout room with someone who does not share the same beliefs as me, but it was very, very, very nice and very connecting. And it did me a lot. It was really, really helpful. Really, really honest. It seemed to really, it really worked for me. It might not work for the other person. It worked for me. And I just think I said a few minutes ago, a few seconds ago, the presentations really worked for me because it's, it was all so much work has gone into it. The detail, the examples. I mean, I will never use the word for me, accountability buddy. I get triggered by that word or sponsor. So I call them recovery partners, but I love the explanation of it on, it's just given me an idea that I've learned something new and I can be a bit arrogant and closed. I learned something new today. So that was really good.
Thanks, Mary. Good to know. Darla, you're up next.
Hi, I too really enjoyed this exercise. The person I was with really helped me to understand when I was doing my scenario, maybe what I would text. A lot of it was more that should be a sponsor, not an accountability buddy. So it really helped me delineate the difference in the you know, what you would say for the sponsor, ask the sponsor versus the accountability buddy, just a lesser type rule. And if it's something more serious or you really need advice, like how I was asking anyhow, that type of advice, that should be saved for the sponsor. And I'm fairly new, so that was good to know. And I really enjoyed this. So thanks.
Thanks so much, Darla. Josephine, I have you next in the queue. Hi.
Hi, I'm Josephine. I'm a compulsive reader. I thought it was lovely going into the breakout rooms. This is my first time at this meeting, and I came to get some skills, you know, to really be a better sponsor. And I thought it was lovely just going into a breakout room and just kind of sharing. I've used accountability, you know, I have accountability buddies, you know, for certain tasks, maybe an event, maybe a phone call, maybe something that I've got to get done. And that's very, very helpful to me. And most of my accountability is really with my sponsor. And that's been working out for us for a while, but I really enjoyed, you know, the breakout room. And I'll be back. It's a great meeting.
Good. Thank you. Kay, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to put it out to the group. In our presentations, we gave a couple of examples of how you might use an accountability buddy. I'm wondering in the breakout rooms whether anybody came up with some new ideas.
Well, I can share that what we were talking about, the how's your food, how's your mood, I shared that yesterday, just all kinds of things going on, that I had eaten my lunch. And then at the end of lunch, it was time to put the leftovers back in the refrigerator, I found myself like still picking at them. And I had that feeling of, I can't stop, right? Where you're just on the verge of just really going face first into this thing. And it occurred to me that that would be a good time for an accountability buddy. You know, I stopped and thought, what can I do right now to really just interrupt this behavior? And I ended up sitting down and doing some, you know, steps journaling. But it occurred to me that, you know, that would be a time that you could maybe text an accountability buddy and say, whoa, I just pulled myself out of the kitchen and I need to break this, you know, mindset right now and ask for support. Oh, Jim, hi.
My name is Jim. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, it was helpful for me because for many years now, I have these three men that I call every afternoon. I have a snack and I come out of many years in a fellowship, part of our fellowship where you're supposed to make three outgoing calls every day. And so I make, being men, socialized that way, I make three of the shortest outgoing calls known to the program. But I do it every afternoon, you know, and if I don't get them, I just leave a message. And I never thought of it, but, it is a form of accountability, buddy. I mean, I make the calls all the time and, you know, they're in two cases. One sort of thinks of me as a sponsor a little bit. He's, you know, the other, anyhow, they're using me in a good way. But it's just good to be reminded that, because I just think your survey was so compelling in this presentation, that this is so important to what we're trying to build here. And I felt good to sort of say, oh, I guess I do that already. So a little bit anyhow. So thank you.
I have put the handout in the chat. So if you click on that link, you'll be able to get a download. If you can't find it there, if you go to secularovereaters.org, do a search for accountability buddies, you'll be able to find information.
Jenny, it's Kay again. Is going to our Facebook or getting on our forums good places to look for accountability buddies?
Yeah, those would be really great. I don't have the links to put in there, but if you go to secularovereaters.org and you do a search for Google group or Facebook, you should be able to find how to join those two groups. They're both closed groups, so it's private. It's only the people who are in them that will see them.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for listening to our presentation.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear recordings of other speakers in this series, visit secularovereaters.org. And while you are there, please consider making a donation to support our work.